where we begin and where we're going to pick up, and we'll do a very brief recap. But before this service is over, I intend to let God take over this place. And when I say let, I don't mean I can stop God, but He lets us stop Him if we don't want to allow Him. And so, whoever's praying for us, who's praying for us? Pray for us, Brother Brandon, for the Lord to help us this morning and move in the direction that God wants to take us.
Hallelujah, Lord. We glorify you in this place, Lord. I pray, Lord, whatever it is that you're trying to do in this atmosphere, Lord, in this service, Lord, I pray that you will begin to speak into this place, Lord. I pray that angels will just be released into the atmosphere, Lord. Whatever it is that we brought into this place, Lord, that you could just release it in here, Lord, that your will be fulfilled, and that we can hear whatever it is that you have. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you. Amen.
Amen, and God bless you. You can be seated. So thankful to see all of you here. I'm going to begin in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, and I'll give you a little recap of where we were Wednesday. I'll try and keep it brief. Scripture says in verse 14, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee, Abram, will I give it, and to thy seed forever." To back up and give you a very brief recap, when God called Abram out of his home, he told him to leave and to go to search for a land of promise that he had promised. And the Bible says that Abram took his wife and he took Lot, his nephew. God did not ask him to take Lot. God did not instruct him to take Lot. God did not say anything about it, but he chose to take Lot. And because Abram took Lot, the blessings that God blessed Abram with became Lot's blessings. In this text where we are, we're going to understand that because of contention and strife, it's a joke to think that God operates in the midst of contention and strife. It's a joke. If you have contention and strife in your home, don't pretend like God is there in the midst of it. He shows up in unity when we work to overcome contention and strife and not allow those things to become rooted in our household. And so after that, Abram said to Lot, You go one way, I'm going to go the other. He says, not good for us to be fighting. Now, you've got to understand what I'm going to tell you. Lot left. The Bible says he set his eyes on Sodom because the plains of Jordan were well watered. If you lived right now in the West in some of those areas where they're experiencing severe droughts, you would understand how valuable water is. But when it's at the mention of the turning of the faucet, we don't understand the value of it. Water was a commodity. It was considered wealth at that time because you can't live without it, in case you haven't realized that. And Aquafina and all those other people realize that. That's why they sucker us into buying bottles of it now. And so Lot moved towards Sodom. And in this text, now after Lot departs from Abram, God reaffirms his promise to Abram. Now, I want you to note something. You will not find God speaking to Lot from this point on. And from this text until the next two texts, we'll go through 17 years pass, and you will not find God speaking to Lot. You'll not find any angelic host meeting with Lot until they come to deliver him from his own mess of his own doing because of the prayers of Abram. So, when Lot leaves, I need you to understand the decision that he made was a decision to now pursue the flesh, which meant he was no longer loyal to the kingdom of God. Again, if I need to spell everything out, I want you to understand that there is nothing in the next 17 years of Lot's life before God's mercy shows up in his life. We love mercy, But sometimes mercy means you've done some stupid things. And some mercy means I found myself probably out of the will of God. That's why I need mercy. Now, I'm glad to have God's mercy, and I'm thankful for it. But I certainly want to recognize why I need his mercy also. And so, over those years, Lot does nothing for the kingdom of God, and we do not witness any of the blessings of Abraham now flowing into Lot's life. Yes, Lot was probably somewhat wealthy because of where he lived. That did not mean he was blessed. And I did forget to tell you, if Billie Eilish can tell all of her followers, you need to get out and vote on Tuesday, I can tell you, you need to get out to the voting polls and vote. Now, why did I think about that? Because she's very wealthy. I would not call her a blessed person. When I look at her life and her lifestyle that is purely evil, I wouldn't call that blessed. Money does not mean blessing. Get that out of your head and stop watching the TV people that want you to buy some holy water and some holy cloths. If I want a holy cloth, I'll go ahead and pray over it and I'll anoint it. I'll ask the church to anoint it and I won't have to pay for it. Lot chose his own path and he became loyal to himself. Now in chapter 14 and verse 12 it says, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed." In this text you will find a battle between nine kings, four kingdoms against five kingdoms. And Lot is taken captive. You know why Lot was taken captive? Because he no longer had God's blessing and God's favor covering him. Do you find Abram taken captive anywhere in this text? You do not. Because when God is with you, who can be against you? And so the first sign that angels are no longer present in your life, we become prisoners to our environment. Now listen to me, there were some angelic meetings that were taking place, but those no longer happened in Lot's life. His environment became an environment that was void of the angelic host of heaven. It was void of the hand of God and the blessings of God. And so Lot didn't directly do anything, but war broke out in the land that Lot chose to live in. And because of that, Lot became a prisoner of the prevailing kings as Sodom and Gomorrah were overthrown. When there is no angelic beings present in your life, you're going to find yourself a prisoner of your environment. You find yourself a prisoner of fear, a prisoner of anxiety. I don't care what the rest of the world calls it. You can call it whatever disorder you want to. I tell you, it's a spiritual stronghold. That's what it is. And the people of God do not belong under the chains of anxiety and the chains of fear. But the people of God belong in his presence where there is fullness of joy according to the scripture. And so when life swallows you up, your environment becomes void of angelic hosts. 17 years later in chapter 18, I'm trying to paint a quick picture for you. Chapter 18, verse 1, "And the Lord appeared unto him on the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day," speaking of Abram. "And he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, 'My Lord, if I now have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant.'" If you haven't figured it out yet, these three men were angels. And the Bible says in verse 4, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." So Abram tries to do what any good host of that day did. It's not 2022. They didn't slam the door in his face. We just do that now. He didn't hide when people showed up at his door. What they did was a washing of the feet was a spirit of hospitality that you would show forth to somebody. That's why it was so common in that day. And so he asked the angels if he could wash their feet. And then in verse 5, he says, I'll fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore you are come to your servant. Now watch this, because it's going to play a part in my next text. And the Bible says, and they, the angels, said, so do as thou hast said. Now I want you to remember that. But while you're remembering that, I want you to understand, this shows us that 17 years after Lot and Abraham parted, angels were still visiting Abraham, but they were not visiting Lot. And it also shows us that angels will respond to our voice when we are living in the will of God, when we are living under God's covering. If you don't have covering, spiritual authority, not some dude on TV that you never talk to, that does not have a voice in your life, but somebody who can get in your business and talk to you, then you do not have God's covering in your life. So the scripture says that they responded according to Abraham's word. They said, so do as thou hast said. Now in the next chapter, in chapter 19, the Bible says there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. This is the first time we hear any mention of Lot in those 18 years ago when he left Abram's covering. And the Bible says, and Lot, seeing them, he rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground. Sounds good. Sounds pretty. If I hadn't had a touch from God in 17 years, I'd bow my face to the ground if he showed up finally also. And he said, now watch this. He said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. Now when Abram said that, they said, as thou say, do. But when Lot said it to them, they said, no, but we will abide in the streets. Let me say it to you one more time. When a man that's living under God's covering says to the angelic host that shows up, hey, hang around for a while, they say, as you say. But when somebody is not living with God's covering and you say, angels, I want you to come to my house, they say, no, thank you. I'll stay out here in the streets before I come into your house. Now, let me just say very quickly, you cannot, I want to drive this point home to you. You must understand how anointing of God and how the blessings of God flows. And as I said to you on Wednesday night, I want to say to you again today, Lot was a recipient of the blessings of Abram as long as he stayed under Abram's covering. There are times in your life, if you don't have a man of God in your life that God has called, you will not be able to enjoy the blessings that flow through his ministry. But if you place yourself under covering and under authority, you will enjoy the same blessings that are flowing through his ministry. It's not because of him or who he is. It's because of the call of God upon his life. And because God made promises when he called every man or woman of God, and those blessings will stay with him as long as he is serving the Lord. So, let me say one more time. Abram said to the angels, come to my house, let me wash your feet and give you some food. And they said, as thou sayest. Lot said, come to my house and take some rest. And they said, no, thank you. You left your covering 17 years ago, and we do not abide with somebody where there is no covering. And I'm going to show you direct scripture for that in case you try and challenge me today. Now, let me ask you a question. why the drought? Why the drought in Abram's life, or in Lot's life? Why even the drought in our lives? It must be considered today within the confines of God's divine plan that a drought of angelic visitation might be because we have detached ourselves from headship where the blessings of God flows from. And the church, which is you and I, let's not talk, and I don't feel that in this place because you're here, but all these detached people out there that try and poo-poo the church building and poo-poo the church gathering and say you don't need a building. They are nothing but people that are detached from reality, and they're detached from the body, and they're detached from headship. But today I've come to show you why you need to reattach yourself to the body and have headship again in your life. And so the church, which is you and I, we cannot become content with dry services and with dry homes, dry marriages, dry relationships. We cannot become content, and we equally cannot become content with substitutes for God's glory, for His majestic, with mirages of angelic visitation. We cannot become content with those things, but we need to realize what is authentic and what is phony, what presents itself as something that isn't. I wish somebody was on board with me today, and you can understand what God is trying to do in this place today. May I preach for a second? I don't know who I'm talking to, but I want to talk to you if you got three different pastors. Ask your wife if she'll be okay with three husbands in your house. Ask her if she's all right with having three different heads in your home. And then tell me how you're okay with three different heads in God's house. You can't operate that way. That will do nothing but birth confusion within your home, within your living quarters. I'm not condemning you. I'm not preaching at you. I'm trying to preach for you. And I'm trying to bring some balance into your life so you understand what God is trying to do and what He wants to. I wish I could get some people that would get on board with me. You all nervous because I called some things out. I don't want to leave people living in bondage and living under a lie. We've got to understand how the miraculous flows and how the will of God moves and how the authority of heaven has been established in our life. And so, why do we have droughts in our lives? Listen, music is not angelic hosts. Dancing is not angelic hosts. There's all kind of harlots in Hollywood that will dance their lives away. I can promise you there's no angels with them. And we have made it a practice now. We have turned our sanctuaries into sensual places of gathering. It's become more common. I've watched people come up front and, hey, if you like waving flags, that's your business. I'm not telling you you're wrong or nothing. It ain't my thing, but that doesn't mean I'm right. But I've watched people up there with their flags at the altar doing stuff like this. I'm not kidding you. I'm not making it up. It's become such trash. God don't care about your body, girls. He don't care about your cleavage. He doesn't care what you got to offer. All He wants is what's inside of you. Men, God don't care about your muscles. He don't care about how much money you got. God is only interested in somebody that will give their heart and give their soul into the use of His kingdom for His glory. And when God will find somebody like that, you'll be amazed what He'll begin to do in your life and in your home. And so why the drought? Well, sometimes we become content with imitation. I've said many times from this pulpit, and I've got to say again today, it's Christians that have given rise to false prophets. Nobody else. Not the world. We're the ones booking plane tickets and bus tickets to go see the prophet over in Arizona. And I don't know of any prophets in Arizona, so I'm just throwing that one out there. You know why? Because we're sensual. You don't need to go to Arizona to get a prophecy. You just need a church, and you just need a man of God. You don't need some big name dude that has made a living and a reputation off of selling things. You just need a church. God is not limited to somebody seven states away. But you see, it's a lot easier to purchase something than it is to have it given to you. That's why people steal. They don't want to work for it, so they just take it. We don't want to submit ourselves to the will of God, so we just decide to take it and then see what comes from that. But that's not how God operates. And Lot thought he was okay. And so the angels of heaven show up. He bows himself, and I'm glad the man still had a little bit of respect for the things of God. He recognized what had showed up, and he wanted that in his house. I want the blessings of God in my home. I want the favor of God in my home. And the angel said, you can't have the blessings of God. And you can't have the favor of God because you have left the covering of God, because you no longer have submitted yourself to the will of God. You became ambitious in your flesh and your carnality, and you no longer sought the things of God. So either you're going to get it right a lot, or you're going to have to settle with cheap knockoffs and imitations. And thereby becomes the birth of false prophecy. I'm going to say this. I just feel like I should. Let me show you what isn't prophecy. This isn't prophecy. You, sir, are going to enjoy the blessings and the favor of God in your life. That's not prophecy. That's stupidity. I'll tell you what prophecy is, when God gives you a direct word that comes to pass. I've seen people who have listened to false prophets tell them they were healed only to die later. That's not prophecy. When you make some general blanket statement, that is not prophecy. Prophecy is when God deals intimately and intricately with an individual. And there are people in this place that have been a direct recipient of God's prophecy. Years ago, I was preaching a message, and when God prophesies, you don't always know it. And I pointed right to the back, and I said, if you're not careful, you're going to send your children straight to hell. And the next day, I had a man call me, and he said, I don't mind if God told you, but can you tell me why you called my name out? And I said, I never called your name, sir. He said, I think you did. I looked at my wife, and she looked at me. I said, I'm telling you, you might have heard God call your name, but I would never do that. And I did not call your name. I said, go back and listen to the message. And I got off the phone and I got curious. And I went on, I listened to the message, and I called his name out as plain as day, as sure as we're standing here today. And I was shocked. And guess what? It came out not long after that that he was having an affair. Not many, but had been having affairs. And God even brought a tongues and interpretation a few weeks after that. And God said, don't you think that I don't know where you're living and what you're doing? I want to tell you, that home fell apart and the blessings of God did not dwell there because one man chose to abandon the purpose and the plan of God in his life. I got a whole bunch more I could give you, but I probably won't get into it right now. Now, I don't call myself a prophet by any means, but I can tell you, God has spoken directly through me many times. I've met many crazy experiences because I always try to keep myself humble before God. We were at camp meeting years ago, and there's a young lady sitting there praying, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and I walked up to her, and I said, you have been sexually abused. And she looked at me and began to weep, and she began to tell me that her brother had sexually abused her for many years, and that she never told anybody. You see, when the angels of God show up, he begins to reveal the unrevealable. He does the unimaginable. If you want to grow in God, then let him bring some of your dirt to the surface so he can finally clean you up and wash you as white as snow. Don't live with stains. Don't live with chunk. Don't be content with a touch. But ask God to let the angelic host of heaven show up in your life. So, how do you break the drought? Psalms 34 and 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him." If you're living in sin, you do not have fear of God in your life. I'm talking open sin. I'm talking willing sin. I'm not talking about where I made a mistake. You're not making a mistake. You made a conscious decision. That is sin and unrighteousness in God's eyes. Listen to me. You cannot have the Lord's covering. Whereas he might have spared Joe Doe, and given him 10 extra years because of God's favor and blessing, because he might not spare Jane Doe or John Doe and give him the same courtesy. And the scripture says, the angel of the Lord, it encamps about. Give me six people up here real quick. I need one person in the middle, and I want you all to form a circle around them. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you know how to know when you fear God? When you don't justify your actions. When every little thing you'll take before the Lord in prayer. You won't be like, well, God don't care about this. Well, God don't care about that. What's God care? No, you'll take everything before God. You'll say, sir, God, do you like pink shirts? Because if you don't like pink shirts, I'm not going to wear another pink shirt. You'll say, God, do you like shirts with cars on them? Hey, if you don't like, I'm not going to wear another cars. I'm being a little funny, but I'm trying to make a point. You'll say, God, are you okay with this? Are you pleased with this? Are you happy with this? You won't justify your flesh. But the Bible says, who's the next biggest guy in this? Brother Joe, come on up. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps round about them fear him. And if you've got the fear of the Lord in your life, when the things of this world try to get at you, there's angels that protect you. There's angels that protect him as the devil tries to get to him. As the devil, don't put your arms around the devil. As the devil tries to get to him, the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. You know why? Listen, we got to get off this thing. Well, the devil, I'll kick the devil right in the teeth. Don't be so dumb. You can't kick the devil in your teeth. But what you can do is enjoy God's covering. You can enjoy God's protection. And when the things of this world try to get at you, when you're living right, and when you're living under God's covering, then you've got a shield because you have a fear of the Lord that you live with. You're a terrible devil, Brother Joe. Go sit down. It's a good thing. If you played that role too well, I'd be worried. Psalms 91 and 11, it says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee, over you and me, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash a foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder." The young lion, I know, I heard some of y'all, the Bible says I put the serpent under my feet. And I'm giving you the reason why the serpent's under your foot. Because the angels of the Lord will pick you up above that thing. "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy feet." What? "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him and will set him on high, because he hath known my name." Now, I hope I ain't confusing you just yet. But I want to cover one thing real quick. I kind of felt it when Brother Jerry said it, and I was feeling the same thing before he got up. If you're one of those people, and I don't know if you're here or not, but if you're one of those people and you think you put too much emphasis on the name of Jesus, well, I wish somebody was here today that give you a testimony about that stuff. Listen to me. You can't put too much emphasis on the name of Jesus. Listen to me. That is the devil's words right there. Because the Bible says at the mention of his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen to me. Whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't want to draw swords with you, but that's why we baptize in Jesus' name. The Father, Son, the Holy Ghost is not a name. Those are references to who he is, and they are titles. But when the scripture says, whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name. Understand? If he says, do all in the name, I'm going to do everything in the name. I'm going to pray in the name. I'm going to shout in the name. I'm going to baptize in the name. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus in the name. I'm going to call upon that name. Now, I'm going to get you, as I got a lady years ago. And she told me that God had sent her to this church. I said, are you sure? She said, I'm sure. You positive? I'm positive. Great. It was 3 months later. We were having a conversation about water baptism. And she said, well, I don't think it matters. I think you can baptize in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I said, that's fine. I ain't here to argue with you. But let me ask you a question. When you pray, how do you pray? When Jesus' name. Then why the heck would you baptize any other way? You know what happened? She never came back to church again. Because when you can't get win an argument, you got to run. Got real tight right there. The word of God will lead you into all truth and righteousness. You stay in the word long enough, you'll begin to understand things you never understood. You begin to see things you never sought. And listen to me now. If you're here today and you've never heard that, that's okay. That's why you're here today. It's in the book. I didn't make it up. There was never a baptism. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but there was never a baptism performed in the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost in the Bible. It doesn't exist. And don't bother walking me to Matthew chapter 28, because that wasn't a baptism. That was instruction. And he said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What is that name? It's Jesus. Listen, that's why, hold on a second. That's why every time in the book of Acts the disciples battled or baptized, they always baptize in the name. Read it. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11, and Acts chapter 19. They always baptize in the name. Listen to me. I ain't going to stand before God and say, God, I know I was only 20 feet away from that baptismal tank, and we got three precious young kids going to be baptized today, and what a privilege it is. I don't want to stand before God and say, I sat there and dug my feet in. I'm going to tell you another story. Am I okay on time? They're not here, and it's not because they don't attend here. They're just not here today. And I know it'd be okay if I told the story, but I won't give any names anyway. Years ago, we had what we called a Holy Ghost rally. We had an evangelist come in for 2 days, and his gifting was just to pray people through the Holy Ghost. At the end of the first service, there's a man stood right back there by Crystal, and the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, if he'll get rebaptized, I'll fill him with the Holy Ghost. Now, I got nervous because I was a little timid then. That's all gone out the water. I ain't afraid to fight you for truth. Don't mistake it. Don't mistake my kindness for cowardness. And so I stood here, and I said, I said, this is exactly how the conversation went. Jesus can strike my breath from my body and lay me dead on this floor. I'm lying to you about one thing. And I said, God, I said, if I have to talk to him, I said, you got to help me because he's going to blow right out of here. He ain't going to receive this. The next day, I forgot all about it. The evangelist and I are driving down the Niles. We get ready to get on the highway to come back. And I felt frustrated in my spirit. You ever feel frustrated in your spirit? God's trying to press you into something. Start learning to listen. Start learning to sense what's going on. And so I felt frustrated. And you know what my frustration was? I didn't want to drive Route 11. Who wants to drive Route 11 on a beautiful sunny day? There's nothing. From here to Niles, you can't even get a gas. It's nothing. It's the most boring stretch of land. I might rather drive in North Dakota. I'm not sure. I've never been there. And so I said, I looked at the evangelist and I said, hey, I feel like God's trying to talk to somebody. I said, do you mind if we take some side roads back? I said, I just don't want to drive Route 11. He said, I don't care. Do whatever you want. So we get off of, I don't remember. Anyway, we get off the highway. And I told him we're going to drive Route 46 back. That was my exact words. And before you know it, we're talking. I'm talking, talking, talking. And I said, oh, my God. He said, what? I said, I went the wrong way. He said, okay. So I made a left at the next road. I'm not going to give you the details. And I'm driving. And I said, hey, do you mind if we stop? And I told him who the folks were. I said, just say hi. He said, I don't care. We got inside the house. Cole was about 2 years old at the time. I let him sleep in the car. No, it's not because I'm a bad parent. It's because I'm a good parent. He was sleeping in the car. Cole, I'm sorry. I'm going to spill the beans on you today, buddy. You're only two. It's all right. It's not your fault. And we get inside the house, and as Jesus is my witness, we're not in there 2 minutes, and guess what topic comes up, and I didn't bring it up. Baptism by them. As the Lord is my witness. So it got real thick, real thick. And I told you, I dealt with some timidity back then. That's all gone. God's broken me of it. And at that time, I can't make this stuff up to you. You've got to understand how great God is. I'm going to tell you what happened. I've never said this to anybody, but I'm going to tell you how it happened now. Cole woke up. I'm inside the house. I hear him out there screaming, crying because he woke up alone. I'm going to tell you what happened. You believe me if you don't want to. It don't matter to me. But an angel went and woke him up and said, hey, I need you to scream and cry a little bit because your dad's getting a little timid in there. And I got to get him out the house so I can speak some faith into these people. I went out to get him, and it was getting thick. I went out to get him. The poor boy done messed his pants. He was so scared. So I come inside, and I'm trying to find. He still does that today. So, I'm just kidding. So I come inside, and I'm like, my God, I ain't got no change of clothes. I got to find. So I decided to go back into the house to get some paper towels. And the man is standing up. He's beat red face. He's yelling. I just walked over, I grabbed some paper towels, I walked out, and I said, they're gone. I clean them up the best I can. I walk back in the house, and I'm not making this up, not one word of it. And I said, I walk back in, and now everybody's crying. And I thought, God, this is crazy. People are bipolar, man. Can't handle it. I'm serious, I couldn't handle it. And the evangelist looks at me, and he says, they're both getting rebaptized tonight. I said, both of them? He said, both of them. So that night, now I'm feeling a little emboldened, you know. Whenever the man of God intervenes for you, you know how you feel a little more emboldened? So I'm feeling emboldened. The service comes to a close, did the first altar call. And I looked over, and there they stood, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me again and said, if he'll keep his promise, I'll keep mine. And so I'm feeling emboldened, and I walked up, and I said, you still going to get baptized? I said, this is what the Lord said to me. He said, yes, I am. I said, good. So they walked up on the platform. He gets in the baptismal tank, and there come that timid spirit again. I walked up, and I said, when this man comes out of that baptismal tank, he'll speak in tongues for the first time in his life. And I turned around to the evangelist, and I said, you're baptizing him. I promise you it's exactly what I said to him. I've got the video, so I can't lie about it. I still got it. And if he was here, I'd ask him if I could show it, but he's not, so I'm not going to. That man came up out of that baptismal tank at 63 years old, been in church his whole life, and he lifted his hands and he began to weep. And in about 30, 40 seconds, he began to weep in tongues and crying in tongues, and he's throwing water on his face as God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you got to get the reason why. Remember what happened the day before. The Lord said, if he'll get rebaptized, I'll fill him with the Holy Ghost. Listen. The Samaritan believers were baptized first, then they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But the Gentiles were filled with the Holy Ghost first, then they were baptized. You know why? Because there's no divine order. But he rejected the importance of the name. And you can't take on God's Spirit if you won't take on his name. I don't know. And I asked him a week later. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you always felt like I put too much emphasis on the name, didn't you? He said, yes, I did. See, you can't reject the name. All power is given unto Jesus in heaven and earth. All power is given unto Jesus in heaven and earth. God orchestrated that entire trip back. God put us in their house. God took me out of the house while the man of God intervened. And because of that, God changed and set their course set their lives on a whole brand new course, and they're still here to this day. Now listen. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I already read all that. Let's drop down. So I have a question for you. I was watching some of you, not to be critical, I'm just being observing. As the service began, and it's common, it happens. We want to fellowship, we want to talk to people, and I'm watching people talk and fellowship. You know, oftentimes I'll come in, church has started, and there's some people out there, kids running around. Brother Brandon found a kid running out in the parking lot today because he wanted to find out where the other baptismal tank is, because one of the young ladies I think we're going to baptize is allergic, has an allergy to chlorine, which we use to clean the water, so we had to fill up a separate tub for her, which we're happy to do. Troy, is it full? Where are you at? Is it full? And so he wanted to see where that extra baptismal tank was. So here's my question to you. Are we aware of what's in this house? Are you aware what God had set in motion the moment you walked through the doors, or was it just another day for you? On Wednesday night, you believe me, it don't matter to me, but I told the church, I felt an angel, and I probably put it about 11 or 12 feet tall, and I've only done this a couple times in my life. I'm not one of those people talk about it all the time. Stood right behind me. I could feel his shadow hovering over me. And I know what the reason was. I'm not going to share it with you. It doesn't really matter. But are you aware of what's in this place this morning and what God wants to do? Or do you just come to clock in and clock back out? Hebrews 13 and 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I always try and remember when a stranger comes to me, could be an angel of God. Because in the Bible, angels always showed up as men. And it took divine intuition to recognize this isn't just a man. Judges 13 and 16, I want to read it to you. Judges 13 and 16, I'm going to read 4 or 5 verses. Says, and the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. The angel came to Manoah's wife, and he told her she was going to have a child. This was Samson we're talking about. Manoah's wife tells him about the encounter. In his countenance, the Bible says, when she was telling her husband, was as an angel of God. Manoah asked the Lord to allow him, or to allow the man to come back. So he does, but he comes back to Manoah's wife. Could it be because Manoah's wife was more sensitive to those things than he was? There's no scripture that teaches us about Manoah prior to this chapter or after, other than his death in one chapter, refers to his death one time. Why did not he know that it was an angel? And I want to submit to you, it's because there was no recorded headship in his life. I can prove it to you. Sometimes, as Eli taught Samuel, sometimes we need headship in order to teach us when the Lord is present and when he's not. Sometimes in our carnality or in the haste of our day, in our time, and in the planning of our day, and we got things to do afterwards, I wish you wouldn't preach so long. You'll never see an angel of God show up in your life like that. It'll never happen. And so sometimes we need a pastor to tell us that angels are in the house, as I told them on Wednesday night. And I felt 2 here today, 1 over here, and 1 over here. And I still feel them present in this place right now. Do we know when angels show up? Manoah did not. God brought through him a great man who was going to be a great vexation to the Philistine people. But Noah, it took his wife and an act of God to help him understand this wasn't just a man that had showed up in his life. When you stop looking at it as just a service, you'll begin to experience God do things in your life that you've never experienced. When you stop looking at it as just, we've sung this song before, you'll begin to experience things that you have never experienced. Can you come and play for me, honey? The Bible says that Jacob wrestled with a man. Because sometimes you have to contend for your blessing while you're waiting on God to show up. It says in Genesis 32:26, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Everybody wants a blessing, but are you willing to contend for the blessing? Are you willing to fight all of hell for your blessing? Jacob was fighting his past. You read the text, you understand it. That's why the angel asked him what his name was, for those of you who've never heard this. Because the last time someone asked him what his name was, he lied. So Jacob had to contend to be released from his past. Just because the Lord forgave you doesn't mean the devil forgives you. Just because the blood covered your sins does not mean the devil will try not to remind you of it every single day of your life. And so sometimes you've got to contend for that, as the Bible calls it, boldly approaching the throne. Sometimes you've got to walk up to the altar and you've got to say, "God, here I am. Yeah, I'm a liar, I'm a thief. But here I am," and I'm talking about myself right now. I'm not a liar or a thief anymore, don't worry. But I used to be. Who said praise God? And you got to say, "Lord, I know you're in this house, because God is not a God of just gathering in a facility. But I prayed this morning and I said, God, let this tabernacle be a habitation for your angelic host today. And I feel them begin to stir in this place as I speak to you. Because the Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. And I know that I have a healthy fear of the Lord. And I feel his host of heaven begin to surround me as I speak to you today." And so Jacob, he desperately wanted to escape his past, and he wanted his blessing, his birthright. You might not be the first male firstborn, but according to the word of God, stop talking like God favors Jews more than you and I. That ended with the new dispensation of grace. That's the Bible. I'm not just making it up. The scripture says there is no more Jew. There's no more Gentile. There's no more Greek. Why? Because we have become adopted into the body of Christ through the blood of Jesus Christ. That barrier has been lifted and removed. Ain't nobody more special than the other. God is just looking for people that want to be in his presence. He's looking for people that don't want pride to get in their way of their blessing. God, Sister Bonnie, you're one of those people. And I feel like healing is beginning to take place in your body. And you all know me. I don't say these things often, but I feel it today. I felt it when I walked up to her. God is looking for people that will forget about their schedule and say, "I want to be surrounded by the hosts of heaven." People that will place their self under spiritual headship and say, "I want the angels of God to show up in my life like they did for Abram. I don't want to be a stale Christian that talks about what I got and it's been paid for and I ain't got to do nothing. I want to be somebody that desires the goodness of God. I want to be, Brother Joe, I want to be a Jacob. And I don't care how much I got to contend with this big guy. I'm going to contend. Bless me. Bless me. I need your blessings, oh God. I need you to touch me today. I'm not worried about deserving it. I know I don't deserve it. But I plead for the blood of Jesus Christ in my life, because he went to a cross and he made that available to me. So I'm going to fight for my blessing. I will not bless you. I will not let you go except you bless me. I wonder who in this place would say today, I'll not let go of that altar until he does something for me. Listen to me. We got it all wrong. You're not inconveniencing God. You think God's offended because you want God, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. You think he's offended that you say, I want you to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think? Joseph inherited the blessings of heaven because while in Egypt, God positioned him that he might survive the famine and be able to position a generation to last for until this time today. Joseph was undercover. Elijah prophesied a drought, and the sky said, okay. Do you know why? Because when Elijah spoke, he was as Abram, and the angel said, did you say close the heavens? All right, we're going to close the heavens up. Elijah said, close the heavens. And then the Bible says he come back somewhere down the road and he said, okay, you can go ahead and open back up. Now, all right, guys, go ahead. You can open up the heavens because Elijah said, when you are under God's authority and you're walking in his footsteps and you humble yourself and submit yourself to the will of God in your life, he gives us those very same authorities. But see, you got to be careful. You got to be careful of imitation. The Bible says that the Antichrist is going to do many wonders and miracles. So how do you differentiate the two? We go to the Word. And we see in the Word that there is always covering in order for God to allow the host of heaven to respond to the voice of man. That's the covering is what set that in motion. The Scripture says, take no thought for tomorrow, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? For what with witherwithal shall we be clothed? Now watch this. In parentheses it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, for the sake of this message, Gentiles means earthly minded. For after all these things do the earthly minded seek. You know what that means? People of God, I'm not going home wondering how we're going to eat tomorrow. And I got a bare refrigerator a lot. I got three boys. I'm not worried about clothes. I'm crying. Oh, God, I can't even go grocery. I can't go buy clothes. No, you know why? Because I'm not earthly minded. Because I know that God provides for his own. Maybe I can't go to the store if I want to. Maybe I can. But when I can go, it's because God has made a way for me. I'm not worrying about whether I'm going to survive the famine. I don't care if nuclear war breaks out and World War III comes. That does not faze me one bit because I know that I'm a child of God. And I know that the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. And guess what? Let me give you another little thing to remember. I haven't forgotten that the Word says that Israel prophet, excelled abundantly while they were in Goshen in Egypt. While the Egyptians were selling, read your Bible. During the famine, the Egyptians were going to Joseph and they first went in the first year and they sold all their livestock to get enough money to eat. And then the Bible says they came back the second year and they said, well, we're going to die, so we might as well die servants, so we'll sell our souls to the servanthood of Pharaoh. But never do you see the Israelites that were in Goshen selling one thing during the famine. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Do you know why? Because they were the people of God. And the people of God are not subject to the laws of men. God can bring you through anything if you put him first in your life. He'll cover you. He'll protect you. He'll love you. He'll embrace you. He'll send angels into your life, put food in your refrigerator. They'll magnify what you have. They'll cause it to excel. He can take your bank account when there ain't no money, and he can make it go up. I wish somebody believed that. Stand with me if you would. So, I have a question for you. I know you're running. Title makes no sense. It makes a lot of sense. Because the scripture talks about the Lord opening the windows of heaven. When Elijah said to the heavens, you can open back up. I don't know, I just kind of feel like somebody here today feels like that was a metaphor. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil a metaphor. That wasn't a metaphor. When he got done, he said, all right, I made my point. He said, you can open back up. And he said, I want there to be an abundance of rain. I want there to be an abundance of rain. The scripture tells us in the New Testament that God will send the former rain and the latter rain all at the same time in the same month. That means everything you've missed, God will catch it back up. And everything that's coming, he's going to bring all that from the past and from the future. And he'll bring it all into one time frame and he'll pour all that out on you. You can't go wrong. You say, why? I didn't serve God early enough. That doesn't matter. He'll reach back and he'll take what should have been and he'll bring it into the present. And he's going to take what he's going to do and he'll bring that back into the present. Because God is timeless. He's not bound by the confines of our mind. I'm here to ask you today, how many Manoahs are in this house? And you do not realize that angels walked in this place with you today because God wants to do something in your life that he's never done. But it needs some people that are willing to grab a hold of the angel that's beside you right now and contend with that thing and say, I want the blessing of God. Not in a selfish way, but in a desperate way. I need you, Lord. I need your spirit. I need a fresh outpouring. I need my heart to be renewed. I need my mind to be renewed. If that's you, would you come to this altar and do not kneel? Listen to me. I'm telling you, if somebody here today is going to have a testimony of a miracle tomorrow, I tell you that what I feel right now in the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to point you out because I don't know who you are. I don't care who you are. It's not about me. It's about God getting all glory. As God said to Manoah's wife, he's saying to some people right now, listen to me very carefully. He's saying, I have impregnated you with future. And some of you be like, I don't know if that's me. I don't know if that's God. That's silly. Did you say something? Because you don't recognize that the angels of heaven are in this place today and they're speaking into your life. They're birthing in us. I wish I had somebody that had the patience of Job. I wish I had somebody that wasn't trying to rush God, but they would say, Lord, put it in me. I'll nurse it for 9 months. I'll eat right. I won't put junk in my body. I won't put junk in my spirit. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen to me. Manoah's wife was said, you can't drink wine. You can't put all that garbage in your body. You've got promise inside of you. I wish somebody stopped making excuses for putting trash in your body and say, I've got promises inside of me. That's why I'm going to fast. That's why I'm going to eat better. That's why I'm going to quit smoking. That's why I'm going to quit drinking. I got promises in me. And I'm going to nurture those promises for the next. I'm going to say this right now with full assurance. I feel plain as day that God is trying to bring the natural and the spiritual and combine them. And if over the next 9 months, you will live like you got a child in your belly. You'll take care of yourself. You'll nurse yourself. And I'm not talking about your health. I'm talking about your spirit. You'll treat your spirit like it's your flesh. If you do it, if there's a real baby inside of you, do it if there's a spiritual baby inside of you. And in 9 months, God's going to begin birthing babies in this place. In 9 months, I want it now. I want it now. Hey, don't rush God. You just wait on God. Hey, when God put Samson in Manoah's wife's belly, she had to wait 9 months too. But when that promise came, he became a force to be reckoned with. And he vexed the people that vexed God's people. Because that's what God does. He'll send a deliverer in your life. Would you lift your hands and recognize what God has sent in this place today? I need you to sing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I won't let nothing stand between me and what God is trying to birth in His house today. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Contend like your blessing's on the line. Contend like your future's on the line. Ah. I want you, Jesus. I want everything that you've got for me. I'll consecrate myself. I'll dedicate myself in a new level. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Jesus.
Just a mention of His name. Everything can change. Everything can change. If you walked in heaven, you're gonna walk out light. If you walked in weary,
in Jesus' church, people passed out and died. They fell off the balcony. Don't be afraid of what God begins to do with people. I'm sorry, Brother Tyler, go ahead. Let yourself go in the Spirit. Let yourself go in the Spirit. Hey, come on, somebody. Jesus, Jesus, show up now. Let there be no doubt. Let there be no fear. Let there be no discouragement. I plead the blood of Jesus and let the Holy Ghost flow right now.
Just a mention of His name. Just a mention of His name. Everything can change. Everything can change. If you walked in broken, you're gonna walk out of. If you walked in lost, He's gonna save your soul. Just a mention of His name. Just a mention of His name. Just a mention of His name. Everything can change. Everything can change.
At the mention.
Just a mention of His name. Just a mention of His name. Just a mention of His name. Everything can change. Everything can change.
Come on, don't give up. Don't give up.
Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I bless you, my Lord Jesus. I bless you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. There you go. Surrender it all to Him. Surrender it all to Him. Jesus, greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. And we take authority.
Oh, we worship the name. Oh, we worship the name. Walked in sick.
If you walked in sick, you're gonna walk out healed. If you walked in bound, you're gonna walk out free.
Just a mention of His name. Just a mention of His name. Just a mention of His name. Change. If you walked in heavy,
if you walked in heavy, you're gonna walk out light. If you walked in weary, you're gonna be alright. If you walked in down, you're gonna walk out of. If you walked in empty, He's gonna fill your cup. If you walked in broken, you're gonna walk out whole.
Hallelujah.
Lost,
come on, somebody.
He's gonna save your
yes,
soul.
Hallelujah.
Just a mention of His name.
Ah, glory. Just hallelujah.
Just a mention of His name. Everything
We need you in this house. Glory, hallelujah, glory, 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 glory.
Yes, the mention of his name.
Just the mention of his name. Just the mention of his name. Just the mention of his name. Everything could change.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.
I help him right now.
Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
His name is Jesus.
Sing without any music. No music for a minute. Go ahead and sing it. Let him hear our voice.
Just the mention of his name. Just the mention of his name.
Come on. Somebody, speak that name. Jesus. Jesus.
Just the mention of his name. Just the mention of his name. Just the mention of his name. Everything could change. Everything could change. Just the mention of his name. Just the mention of his name. Just the mention of his name, everything can change.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Yes, the name of Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Oh, yes, the name of Jesus. Oh, if you walked in sick.
If you walked in sick.
You're gonna walk out here.
If you walked in
high. You're gonna walk out
free. If you walked in
here, you're gonna walk out
high.
If you walked in weary, you're gonna be alright.
If you walked in down, you're gonna walk out up. If you walked in empty, he's gonna fill your cup. If you walked in broken, you're gonna walk out whole. If you walked in lost, he's gonna save your soul. It's just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Everything can change.
Yeah, everything mention can of his name.
It's just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name.
Just a mention of his name. Everything
is yes, mention of his name.
Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name.
Just a mention of his name.
Everything
is mention of his name.
Just a mention of his name. Just the mention of his name. Just the mention of his name. Everything can change.
His name is
Jesus. His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Yes, the name of Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is His name is Jesus. Worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you. Just the mention of his name.
'cause just the mention of his name, just the mention of his name, just the mention of his name, everything can change, everything can change. Just the mention of his name, just the mention of his name, just the mention of his name, everything can change, everything can change.
We're going to pray together one more time, and we're going to baptize some precious kids. I want you to pray as we pray. I want you to lift your hands one more time. Listen to me. If I can do it, you can do it. I'm out. I'm spent. I got another service to do. But I want you to say, Lord, I'm a believing right now that you have impregnated me with promise today. This right here, this was the day. This is the day. And I'm going to nurse this thing because God needs to see that we will nourish the life that he has put in us, that we will not take it for granted. Let's pray this together as they get ready to sing. Lord, we receive from you the voice of the angel of God that would say to his people, today God has put life inside of you. God has impregnated you with promise. And in 9 months, that promise is going to come out. And when it does, or until then, I need you to take care of that body. Take care of your spirit like you've never done before. Protect yourself. Nurture yourself. Hallelujah. I'll not let anything in my mind that doesn't belong there. I'll put myself under subjection. I'll keep myself accountable. And I will look forward to the birth of God's promise that he has impregnated with me today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Brother Tyler. I encourage you to receive that right now from the Lord. Receive it. Receive it as a message from an angel of heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Friday's disappointment, Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has it possible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the phrase book of Daniel. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live, gonna live. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Oh, Pentecostal fire stirring something new. Resurrection power runs in my veins too. I believe there's another miracle here in this room. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise making dead men walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. Just as the man who was born on the bones of Elijah, if there's anything that he can do,
just as the soul that was rolled at the tomb in the garden, what happens when God says to move? I feel him moving it. I feel him doing it now. I feel him doing it now. Do it now. Do it now. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the
praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Yes, it is.
If you want to join us,